Welcome to Week 6 action. Down, sadly, to one undefeated team. The Packers are the only ones who remain because the 49ers prove that the value of gold is higher than the value of silver. At least, I don't know, something with the helmets and they're the silver bullet and the Niners are the gold rush. Well, it's something some Detroit fan told me about. Whatever.
I thought the Coors Light was the silver bullet.
Yeah, I know. Well, he was probably drinking some Coors Lights. I mean, well, whatever. Beer is good. Football's good. Let's stick with that basic premise. I'm Kyle, the student of the game. To my right, my loyal co-host Chris and Weasel, ready to bring you some action. And ironically, we open our game, our featured covers this week with two more metallic helmets, gold and pewter. Well, in this one, pewter had a superior value as the Bucks upset the Saints, 26-20. Drew Brees having a day that you would normally expect to see from Drew Brees in his fourth game in a row where he threw 350 yards or more, 29 for 45, 64%, with a touchdown and three interceptions, one of them to finish the game, an opportunity to win it, and he threw it in the end zone, sealing the deal for the Bucks. Josh Freeman had 23 completions for 41 attempts, 56%, 303 yards with two touchdowns. Pierre Thomas had 7 carries for 11 yards. Not a great performance, but he does represent the fourth Saints turnover. Mark Ingram, the rookie, had 9 carries for 22 yards, 2.4 day. Did have a touchdown. Drew Brees had 3 carries of his own for 21 yards. So despite Gerald McCoy, their second-year defensive tackle, being out, there was a defensive presence in place that was giving Brees a lot of pressure. Obviously had a lot to do with the mistakes he made. And the safety, Tanar Jackson, returned to make one of the interceptions in question. He had been out 56 weeks for a suspension and was deemed eligible by the league last week. Took the field, made an impact. LeGarrette Blount for the Bucks was also injured and out in this week's game. Good old Ernest Graham coming back and punching the clock. 17 carries for 107 yards, 7.1 yards carry. Kind of an impressive performance.
109.
Okay.
6.4 carry.
What's that?
6.4 carry.
Okay, well, there you go.
He didn't have a long at 34, though.
Did I take that out? That's what it is. Anyways, well, that aside, big performance for Ernest Graham while LeGarrette Blount was hurt. And speaking of people getting hurt, Jimmy Graham had 7 catches for 124 yards, but managed to injure his coach, Sean Payton, by falling into him after making a catch, an ACL tear, and a broken tibia. He missed the second quarter, having his offensive coordinator make the play calls, and instead came back out and was making calls about while sitting down on the bench. But a coach on the IR, not something you see very much.
Yeah, he'll be coaching from the press box next week. They said he had surgery today.
That all went well. Right. Well, they mentioned a tear before. I don't know if the meniscus was involved or not.
It was the meniscus, not the ligament.
Okay, well, that's actually good news. Yeah. But in any case, Marquise Colston making 7 catches for 118 yards with a touchdown as well. For the Bucks in the air, Aurelius Ben, 3 catches, 83 yards, and a touchdown, featuring a 65-yard special for that touchdown catch, by the way. Mike Williams had 6 catches for 59 yards, and a name that keeps coming up, Preston Parker, 2 catches, 32 yards, with a touchdown. In addition to the 4 turnovers they gave up to the Bucks, the Saints made it to the red zone 4 times, got a touchdown once. Kind of a big deal. Could have used those 12 points. I'm just saying. With that, speaking of things that were painful, well, we were talking about colors and medals before. It's interesting we're talking about colors because Curtis Painter is featured in our next game as the Colts faced off against the Bengals. Top defense in the league right now, the Bengals. An interesting thought. Or at least going into this week, I should say. I got nothing. Yeah, I know they got Manny Lawson and Rain Maliuga's pretty good. And they got rid of Jonathan Joseph.
Nate Clements,
there we go. I forgot that the Niners gave away their whole defense practically.
And they got better. Like the Bengals.
You know that what that proves is you know who an awful coach is, Mike Singletary. Anyways, the Bengals managed to win over the Colts, 27-17. Curtis, I should have been a painter, goes 23 for 34, 68%, 188 yards with a touchdown and an interception. Our favorite ginger, Andy Dalton, rookie out of TCU, goes 25 for 32, 78%, 264 yards with a touchdown. Our boy, Delaney.
I think it's Delaney Walker.
Delaney Carter is the one who made the winning catch in the 49er Lions matchup. Thank you for that, Weasel. Appreciate that setup. Delaney Carter goes 14 for 45, 3.1 a carry. Donald Brown makes an appearance for the Colts as well, going 5 carries for 35 yards and a touchdown. On the ground for the Bengals, Cedric Benson has 16 carries for 57 yards, 4.1 a carry with a touchdown. The Bengals as a team had 94 yards, so that should give you a little bit of a picture of how much Benson ran the ball for there. Reggie Wayne was the top receiver for the Colts, going 5 for 58. And Dallas Clark, 6 catches for 53 yards, including an impressive one-handed touchdown catch. However, he balanced out his own performance, losing a fumble during the game. Pierre Garçon went 8 catches for 52 yards, but also suffered a fumble loss as well. Jerome Simpson, rookie star there, 6 catches for 101 yards, and another rookie star for the Bengals, 5 catches for 51 yards and a touchdown for A.J. Green. Very interesting factors here. 3 turnovers for the Colts in addition to 0 sacks. That's right, 0 sacks by Robert Mathis and Dwight Freeney. And kind of gave the Ginger an opportunity to continue his campaign as Rookie of the Year despite the existence of one Cam Newton. Very interesting on that.
And Jerome Simpson's not a rookie, though.
Oh, is he?
I think it's second year.
Second year, okay.
Yeah. He's from, I'll tell you here in a second. Yeah, no, 4 years from Coastal Carolina. It's just because we haven't heard from him until this
Coastal
year.
Coastal Carolina?
Yes.
It's where Tyler Thigpen, I believe, he went there.
I won't bother checking. With that, we head over to Chris to bring us some New York action. The Bills and the Giants. Chris.
There's only one New York team. They're in New Jersey. But...
Well,
they play in New Jersey.
They claim to be from New York. It's very much so. And then you throw the Jets in there, so that means there's two New Jersey. Whatever. Chris, go ahead.
Right. With the game tied 24-24, the Bills had a chance to run the clock out and kick a field goal to go up. But they went for a pass deep, and Corey Webster of the Giants had a second interception on the 5-yard line, and the Giants benefiting from 2 pass interference calls. Kick the game winner with a minute 32 left to win 27-24.
I wonder. Actually, that's not even bias. That's real talk from a fan. Take a lesson, Weasel. That is not homework talk.
And the 2 pass interference calls were from one player. So.
Give us the details, brother.
Yeah. For the Bills, Ryan Fitzpatrick, 21 for 30, 70%, 244 yards, 2 touchdowns. He had 2 interceptions. Both of them were in the red zone. He was sacked 3 times. Eli Manning, 21 of 32, 66%, 292 yards. He had no touchdowns, no interceptions, no fumbles, and no sacks.
That's impressive. Kind of a big deal. I mean, this is what happens when Eli doesn't turn the ball over. I'm very interested.
And on the ground for the Bills, Fred Jackson, 16 for 121 yards, 7.6 a carry with a touchdown. He did have a long of 80 yards for that touchdown. That brings it to 2.7 as his average. My Bradshaw had 26 for 104, 4-yard average with 3 touchdowns. He had a long of 30, so that brings it down to 2.96. Through the air for the Bills, David Nelson, 4 for 62. Naaman Roosevelt.
It's
2 A's. It should be a long A, right?
Well, is it Saab or Sayab? It's so confusing.
All right. Well, anyway, he had 1 catch for 60 yards, which went for a touchdown. Fred Jackson, 5 for 47. Stevie Johnson, 5 for 39 with a touchdown. And C.J. Spiller had 5 for 39. For the Giants, Hakeem Nicks had 4 for 96. Jared Ballard had 5 for 81. And Mario Manningham had 5 for 56. And Victor Cruz had 1 for 12.
You should have worked on that a little more. Hakeem Nicks had 4 for 96. You know, that worked out very nicely. I liked it.
All right. Total yards, Giants 414 and 374. Basically, this came down to red zone, which is a big difference here. Actually, it said Buffalo is 1 for 1 in the red zone. Giants were 3 for 5, so those interceptions were in the red zone, but they weren't there yet.
They were thrown into the red zone. Right, gotcha.
Giants were 3 for 5. Lawrence Hine had 2 field goals. Longest of 26. That's what made it close, you know. 26, so, you're inside the 10.
Yeah, I mean, you're dancing that close. You need to... That's what they traditionally refer to as a chip shot. Yes, quite. So, very interesting matchup there. Another a game that used to be called a rivalry, but not so much because the Jags aren't as good as they used to be. Got the Jaguars and the Steelers. Weasel.
Steelers at home almost blew a 17-3 halftime lead, but held off the Jags for a 17-13 victory. For the Steelers, Big Ben Roethlisberger was 12-23, 52%, 200 yards, 1 touchdown, no INTs. He was sacked 3 times. In the running game, Rashard Mendenhall had 23 rushes for 146 yards, 6.3 average with a touchdown. Isaac Redman had 4 for 22, 5.5 average. And Big Ben had 3 scrambles for 9 yards.
So, what I'm hearing, minus Big Ben, is you had two running backs there averaging upwards of 5 yards a carry, correct?
Yeah.
Kind of a big deal, that.
It is.
Especially when your quarterback's throwing 52%.
And you have 25 rushes compared to 23 passes. So
well stated.
Well,
that's Big Ben running, too. So.
Yeah, he's
23
he's
into 4. It's 27.
Yeah, whatever. Close
enough. And those 3 runs were probably passes, too, so it was 50-50.
In the receiving game, Mike Wallace had 2 catches for 76 yards and a touchdown. Hines Ward had 3 for 47. Emmanuel Sanders had a 32-yard reception, and tight end Heath Miller had 4 for 27. For the Jets, rookie quarterback Blaine Gabbert, 12 of 26, 46%, 109 yards, 1 touchdown, no INTs. He was sacked 5 times. I think in one of Blaine Gabbert's one of his knocks in college, wasn't he like his completion percentage was like really low?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was one of his knocks.
Oh, well, what have we said about quarterbacks on this show who go below 50% in their completion percentage? That they usually lose the game based on that.
Yeah,
but a lot of times, though, with his percentage, though, he still doesn't throw too many interceptions, though.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice, but if you can't move the ball, I mean, I'm not saying.
You're not throwing it over either.
Go ahead, Weasel. I think we'll have another stat that involves us in just a moment.
He was sacked 5 times.
Well, that too, yeah.
Rashawn Drew, a.k.a. Mojo, had 22 rushes for 96 yards, 4.4 average. Dajee Kareem had 5 for 21, and Gabbert had 3 scrambles for 16 yards. In the receiving game, Mike Thomas had 4 catches for 36 yards. Tight end Mercedes Lewis and Jason Hill each had 2 receptions for 29 yards, but Hill did have the touchdown.
And I'm not trying to call you out. You said it really fast, and I didn't quite catch it. And he's a name that we don't often mention on the show. Who's this other?
Deji Kareem.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just make because he doesn't normally make the cut. Want to make sure we gave him his Deji Kareem. Yeah. Gotcha. Just want to make sure he got his props. I mean, he may not listen to the show, but you know, the listeners at large, you know, they want to hear about somebody new. Anyways, go ahead, Weasel. You're doing fine.
All right. With a minute left, Gabbert got the ball off a punt at the Jacksonville 23-yard line. He did drive the Jags to midfield, but ran out of time.
There you go. Yeah, that whole time thing, it kind of murders you.
Yeah.
A very interesting concept we also bring up. Talking about Gabbert's completion percentage, definitely a factor. On third downs, the Steelers, 7 for 15 at 46%. Pretty strong. Probably did that with a lot of runs. The Jaguars, 4 for 15 at 26%, which leads me to believe that that Blaine Gabbert, as a rookie, all granted, is 26%, or no, he's not 26%, I'm sorry, that his low completion percentage was part of a contributing factor in that 26%. Right. So with that, we'll head over to the next game, which will bring Weasel to the mic once again, Vikings versus Bears.
The Bears, at home, crushed the Vikings 39-10.
So, how much did your fiance talk smack?
Oh, she talked a lot of smack. It's
so,
like, when you're 1-5, it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome, great job.
You should be proud of yourselves.
Yeah.
The Falcons and us, super.
To me, it looked like the game was over in 2 minutes and 34 seconds.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. I think, and like, Weasel came over to the house on this particular occasion, and all I could say to him is, it's a shame you were late because, yeah, competition wasn't so much.
Yep.
Tell us why not, Weasel.
Well, for the Vikings, Donovan McNabb was 19 of 24, 79%, 177 yards, no touchdowns, no INTs. He was sacked 5 times, one of which was for a safety. In the mid-third quarter, after getting sacked on consecutive plays on a 3-and-out, McNabb was benched for the rookie quarterback, Christian Ponder.
Oh, snap! And Chris Winkie was so proud.
First round pick out of FSU. He was 9 of 17, 52%, 99 yards, no touchdowns, no INTs. No, he was not sacked. Did show some scrambling ability to avoid sacks and had a scramble for 8 yards.
Very, very positive, very accurate evaluation of his performance right there.
Yeah, he's, what was kind of interesting is that he gets in the game and he throws, I think, like 2 or 3 slant patterns to complete it to wide receivers. I think it was like Percy Harvin, Greg Camarillo had a long one. You never saw that with McNabb. And when you have games like Jordy Nelson had a 93-yard touchdown against the Rams, and he just had a, I think it was like kind of like a little post route.
Yak!
A short post route.
Yards after catch.
And, I mean, McNabb, you never saw that. There wasn't really any, like, slant patterns for McNabb.
And I'll say this about Ponder as well. What impressed me, that's a point. He had some good fundamental throws. You're right about that, Weasel. But what I also liked about it was there were a couple times when he was in that the pocket did indeed collapse, and he just kind of felt it.
Yeah.
You can't coach that.
He moves, sometimes moves it up in the pocket, he escaped it, and he threw at least like 2 or 3.
I don't know what it is about.
Threw him away.
Good. I don't know what it is about rookie quarterback candidates of late, whether the rules are that generous to quarterbacks, whether more colleges are running more pro-style offenses, or what. But, I mean, all of us, don't try to back out here either, Weasel. Yeah. All of us were real a little concerned when Christian Ponder was drafted when he was.
Yeah. One of his knocks is, and I kind of saw it in the game, is that his passes kind of float. His arm strength is questionable. Like, his long passes, one of them looked like he was throwing a 500 pass.
Yeah, there
it
was
like
one.
It looked like it was a punt, and there were some of them were just thrown out of bounds. But the thing is, his passes, I mean, short to intermediate, were pretty on target. So
he has had shoulder surgery though in college.
Yeah.
For my money, and I'm not trying to bring it up and knock you or anything. I like his first effort better than I like Tavares Jackson's. I'll put it that way. That's a good point too.
There was a Joe website, and he was 0-for-1.
I was about to mention, they did manage, however, to play all 3 quarterbacks at some point in the game.
Yeah. So, in the running game, Adrian Peterson kind of got shut down. 12 rushes for 39 yards, 3.3 average, but he did have a touchdown.
Only because you did this all the time. When you do it, Weasel, I'm going to say it, because in the study hall last week, called it!
Yeah.
To say it.
The receiving game, Percy Harvin had 7 catches for 78 yards. Bernard Berrien had 5 for 54. Tight end Bashanti Shanko, 5 for 45. Michael Jenkins had 4 for 45. And Greg Camarillo, had a 23-yard reception. In the passing game, Jay Cutler was 21 of 31, 67%, 267 yards, 2 touchdowns, no INTs. He was sacked once and lost a fumble. Other than that, he was pressured very little by the Vikings, which differed greatly when the Bears played the Lions.
Correct.
In the running game, Matt Forte had 17 rushes for 87 yards, 5.1 average, and Marion Barber, good pickup for the Bears. 11 rushes for 32 yards, 2.9 average, though he had a touchdown, and 2.9 isn't very good, but the thing is when you got Forte, you could give him a little break, which is much needed.
He's a different kind of back.
Yeah. He's the, like, a pounder type.
He's the closest. I'm not going to say he's the best example, but he's the closest example to a Jerome Bettis now that he's older.
Yeah. Jerome Bettis was much bigger.
Though. Obviously.
Yeah.
I didn't say it was a best example. I said it was a close.
Both were bruisers.
Correct.
So they still average 4.3 yards a carry.
Yeah.
There you go. Good call, Chris.
Yeah. The receiving game, Devin Hester, busy. 5 catches for 91 yards, 1 touchdown. The touchdown was a 48-yard deep bomb off on the Bears' third play of the game in the offense. When Chris mentioned the 3 minutes into the game, it was like over
48-yard.
Well,
48-yard.
Yeah, that was just a great pass. I'll give Cutler all the credit in the world. That was a good ball, and Hester actually caught it for once, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
So.
Matters who you ask. After a Vikings touchdown in the third quarter off of a Cutler fumble, the Peterson run, Hester returned the kickoff. 98 yards for a touchdown, so momentum.
Don't kick to bleep Hester, okay?
Yeah.
Figure it the bleep out.
So that means he had one kickoff return for 9 yards if he had a 98-yard kickoff return.
Yeah.
The other one was for 9 yards.
Well, hey, every now and again, the Vikings might decide to play special teams.
Exactly.
He had a punt return for 27
yards. Or their punter Chris might get to Cluey and angle his punt. No. Anyways.
Yeah, he angled a punt, and I think they got the ball at the Vikings 48 or something because they didn't want to kick to him, and they overdid it.
That's called a shank.
No, not really.
It's not a bounce. It's not a return. He doesn't get credit for a return when that happens.
All right.
So that means if he's got a return stat, they actually covered him. But
I know.
Then if you. See, yeah, Chris is right. That's not an angle punt. That's
that was
a shit.
After the 98 yarder.
Well, yeah, true. And in fairness, that bounce was stupid. Like, he kicked it, what looked pretty good, but it bounced the wrong way a good 15 yards.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. I can't blame Cluey for that.
Cluey, I think it is. But, okay. Johnny Knox.
Johnny Knox!
Had two
Thank
for,
you for
41.
That.
Matt Forte had 6 for 36. Tight end Kellen Davis had 2 for 27. And rookie tight end Dean Sazenbacher.
Very good, Weasel.
Had a 13-yard touchdown reception.
So, and I had something there here. I had something there here, really, Kyle? I had something here for red zone attempts. 2 for 4 by the Bears. 1 for 3 in the red zone. 5 sacks to 1, you mentioned that, but a 29-point difference, I don't give a damn if you were 100% in the red zone, the 8 extra points were not enough. So, my pop quiz is here, is kind of simple. Kluwe, how do you pronounce that?
I think it's Chris
Cluey. Cluey.
That's why I say Cluey is the W-E. And I'm going to default to you because you're the resident Vikings fan, and I'm not hating.
Mostly, yeah, I can actually say Cluey, man.
Okay. There's no hate here. I'm asking.
I'm asking.
I love you, man. It's all good.
With the name Cluey, that means he's probably, from New Zealand, so they know how to punt and play rugby over there. All right.
Hey, man. As Australians are human, too. New Zealanders are human, too. He shanked one. I'm just saying. There was a lot of pressure. Speaking of people who are under a lot of pressure, does it suck to be anyone else? As much as it sucks to be Tony Romo. I'm just asking. You do good, you're a hero for like 30 seconds. You do bad, you're a villain for an eternity. And I don't feel like Romo did a bad job, but he's probably going to get blamed for what happened when he played against the Patriots. Chris.
The golden boy, Tom Brady, drove the Pats down the field 80 yards in the final 2 minutes. And hit tight end Aaron Hernandez on an 8-yard touchdown pass to beat the visiting Cowboys 20-16. Both quarterbacks in this game were 27-41, 66%.
It happens, but it's rare.
Tony Romo was for 317 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. He was sacked twice. Golden Boy was 289 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He was sacked 3 times.
Pop quiz. Better performance here. Weasel. Or actually, I'll go with you first, Chris.
Yeah, I'd say Tony Romo was.
Weasel.
I didn't watch that game, so I don't
know. Well, no, I mean, but you heard the stat
Based
lines,
the stats,
right?
Stats
because
well, 317 for Romo, 289 for Brady, but Romo was 1-1, Brady was 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
And no pick sixes, right?
No pick sixes.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd say Romo.
You make it 3 across the board. I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Chris.
On the ground for the Cowboys, rookie DeMarco Murray out of Oklahoma, 10 for 32, 3.2 average. Tony Romo had 1 scramble for 17 yards. It's a Tashard Choice, 5 for 14, 2.8 average. But he had a fumble. The fumble came after Matthew Slater fumbled the kickoff when the game was 3-3.
So
and it was inside the 20.
Oh boy! See, yeah, and then the Stephen Murray thing I believe was on a. You said it was on a punt return.
Matthew Slater, yeah, it was on a kickoff return.
Kickoff
right
return.
Right after the.
Oh boy! And then he gives the ball right back.
Right after the Cowboys kicked the field goal to tie the game up in the first quarter.
I don't know a whole lot about the name DeMarco Murray, and you said he was 10 for 32. The Cowboys as a squad were 24 for 77. So that's quite a bit of an impact. you know, considering that you're a name that I don't know yet.
Yeah, Felix Jones went out with an ankle injury. That's why DeMarco Murray came in.
Yeah, that's kind of a big deal. Chris?
For the Pats, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, the firm, had 14 for 58, 4.1 a carry. Through the air, Dez Bryant, 4 for 78. Miles Austin, 7 for 74. Jason Witten, 4 for 48 with a touchdown. Laurent Robinson, 2 for 43. For the Pats, Rob Gronkowski had 7 for 74. Deion Branch, 3 for 69.
All right.
And Aaron Hernandez, 8 for 68 with a touchdown. He also lost the fumble.
Oh.
And Wes Welker, 6 for 45 with a touchdown.
Points for Chris?
Yeah, points for me.
Not many, but...
Yeah.
And by the way, DeMarco Murray is a rookie out of Oklahoma. So, okay, cool. I didn't hear it.
Catches an off day.
Off day.
Yeah, it is off day. 45 yards is what was an off day.
Yeah.
Speaking of people with off days, Ocho Cinco might be cut in the next few weeks. I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Big difference in this game. I mean, it was close with the Patriots turning the ball over 4 times. Third down conversions, Dallas was 33%. The Pats were 62%.
That's pretty good.
Right. Red zone, the Dallas was 1 for 3, and New England was 2 for 4.
Not that 2 for 4 is great, but 1 for 3 is worse. Let's just put it where it is.
Penalties, Dallas had 10 for 77. The Pats had 5 for 35.
Good stat. So definitely effective.
But what's amazing, they added 6 turnovers in this game. 4 of them were in the first quarter.
Well, somebody was jittery.
Each team turned over the ball twice in the first quarter.
Yeah, that's a whole lot of action early. Well, action, I suppose, is a very friendly word for it, but at the start of the game there. So a couple things that occurred in non-featured games. Opening up with Weasel's division rival, the Packers, as they were facing off against St. Louis. Really a relatively useless game. The Rams still 0-6 at this point. Doesn't bother me any as a 49ers fan. But A.J. Hawk made a really strong play. I believe it was an interception or a sack.
It was a sack in the second quarter.
Tell us a little bit where the scandal is. Because A.J. Hawk will make a sack every now and again because they overcompensate for the D-line or for Clay Matthews. So a Hawk will jump in and make a play. And what kind of occurred that was a standout in that situation, Weasel?
Well, after the sack... you could call it like a celebration or sorts. He turned to his sideline, and I think he called it an inside kind of joke. He extended his middle finger to the Packers sideline.
So he flicked off his teammates.
Exactly. And it's like it was a playful gesture, you know, I hope I don't get fined type of thing, but... It's like,
I doubt he was thinking of that when he did it.
He said it afterwards, though.
Oh, yeah. Bleep. Yeah.
And so it's one thing. I know it's like some people just think it's like, what a big deal. You see that sometimes. But when you're like a dad and you're watching the game with your son, and if they show that live, it's like, why did he do that? What is that? And what's even worse is CBS blurred it out, and it's like, what's wrong with the screen, Daddy?
Well, in all fairness, CBS was doing their best there, and I'll give them their props on that. I mean, because it would be absolutely ridiculous if Clay Matthews, check that, A.J. Hawk did that, and CBS had to pay a fine. Chris, do you have a weigh-in on it as the father on the show?
You know, it's a stupid decision. You've seen stupid decisions every week with these NFL players, if it's Twitter or on camera or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, was it Charles Woodson put it best, you know, yeah. You know, if you did, it's gonna be caught on camera. Even if there wasn't even cameras, they'll be on a cell phone on social media sometime.
Oh, good point. So. Twitter's a biatch. What can we say? I'll say this, and I was listening to Colin Cowherd, who I will say I steal a lot of things from, and is somebody who's on ESPN's afternoon radio program. And Colin Cowherd, he's also on Sports Nation. He came out backing AJ Hawk. He said, you know, it's different to where he's doing it to his own teammates and that it's not as egregious. It wasn't like a taunt. I mean, it was just to his teammates. It was definitely playful. It'd be different if he did it to a stranger. That's where my brain stopped. Technically speaking, because of what you guys were talking about the camera, he did do it to a stranger. So that's the problem I kind of have with it.
Millions of strangers.
Well stated, Weasel. Yeah. Really well stated. Speaking of something that wasn't as friendly as it should have been, also the Lions fell to the 49ers in just a drag-out brawl on this one. I mean, ridiculous defensive game. And at the end of the game, 49er coach Jim Harbaugh was really excited, and he went to meet coach Jim Schwartz of the Lions in the middle of the field for the handshake. Now, on the way up to the handshake, Jim Harbaugh is all celebratory. I think he slapped five with one of his players or something and goes over and shakes, like just really enthusiastically shakes Jim Schwartz's hand and slaps him on the back and runs off. Well, Jim Schwartz, because I could read lips, as Jim Harbaugh runs off, says, going, "What the bleep?" and starts chasing Jim Harbaugh, bumps into him, and then the coaches have to be separated. Now, you can look up the post-game press conferences, but basically what it amounts to is Jim Schwartz giving a lecture on, oh, Jim Harbaugh violated protocol, and Jim Harbaugh saying, "Yeah, it's my bad. I shook his hand too hard. You guys have probably heard some of the hype yourselves. I'm only bringing this up, and I'll pose the question as to why I'm bringing it up in just a second, but I'll let you guys weigh in with your feelings first. Weasel, what do you got?"
Well, it was one thing if like he was like, "Yeah, and like in your face" type thing, but he shook his hand, and as Jim Schwartz was going off, he gave him what it was like a hard pat in the back.
Well,
like,
I mean,
see it. Like,
right.
And it's like, I think after the handshake, he was like all mad because they lost, and then getting the push in the back, it was like he saw that as like, you know, a in your face type thing. When it was in reality, it was like a, you know, like a not really good job type thing, but it was like a you know, it was. I don't think there was any malice in it. In the push in the back, and so him running after him, I think it was like 40 yards too to get at him and like saying like, you know, "What are you doing" type thing.
What the bleep was more precisely what he said, but
pretty much, yeah. You have on the field, you have players that get some cheap shots, and they're expected to, you know, keep their composure and stuff, or they, you know, a 15-yard penalty. A lot of times they'll get fined for. A lot of times cheap shots can injure you.
Mm-hmm.
And coaches, they're kind of, you know, should be held to a higher standard.
Let me ask you just this question before I move on to Chris. Two things. First of all, it's a freaking handshake.
It was the thing after the handshake.
Okay, so you think it was the, and you're calling that a push. Was it a push, really?
It was a pat in the back.
Okay.
I would
even venture to call it a smack.
The technical term that Harbaugh used was slap, grab, handshake.
Yeah.
Grab, slap.
Okay, yeah. No, that's I'll take that.
Because if you have a scuffle with someone, it's like, you know, or if you have like a, you have like, you know, a lot of times you get a pat in the back, like, you know, like off, go off, you know, it's like a closing thing. But he saw it as a, I lost and you're pushing it type of thing, which is kind of like really good, so.
Okay, good way in. Chris, what do you got?
You know, I feel it goes on both the coaches here with it. Harbaugh could have kept his composure a little more. It couldn't have been celebrating with the players after he shook hands. Coaches always go to the middle of the field. Act like you've been there before. Go over there, shake his hand, congratulate him, good game.
The Barry Sanders defense.
Right. You know, shake his hand, congratulate him, then turn to your players and celebrate with them is one. So that was on Harbaugh. And then Schwartz, you know, grew up, what are you in, second grade? Your feelings are hurt. You know, it's just let it go. He's excited. He comes over. You see him running over, jumping up and down with his players. All excited. You know, he's excited. He won. They beat another defeated team.
Jim Harbaugh hooded my feelings.
Your team is also 5-1, too.
Right. So it gets on both of them.
Well, yeah. I'll be really quick because you guys touched on a lot of really good points. But for my money, there's two things here that we need to mention. A, one word or less, answer this question. If Jim Schwartz doesn't chase him and bump into him, are you, me, Dan Patrick, and or Colin Cowherd, or Jim Rome, or any of the names out there on talk radio or on TV or any of that, is anyone even talking about this?
No.
If Jim Schwartz does not take the time to chase him 20 yards after it occurred?
No.
I'm going to go with less than one word now.
One word or less.
And
I didn't say less than. I didn't say less than one word.
Absolutely not.
One word. Okay, so Chris is going. Chris is going with the IT response. In, yes. Exactly. I'm glad you get it, Weasel. Even though you answered with two words. That's still one word. I'll take that. So there's that to consider as well. On top of which, at the press conference, Harbaugh took his blame. Jim Schwartz was like a kindergarten teacher. Oh, you shouldn't do that protocol. And there's something that has been alluded to as well, that previous in the game, Jim Schwartz mocked the 49ers sideline because on the touchdown that Nate Burleson got, there was Harbaugh wanted to review it, so he flew through the flag.
It wasn't on Burleson's.
It was on Pettigrew's?
It was on Pettigrew's.
Okay, it was on Brandon Pettigrew's. And Harbaugh threw the flag to challenge it because he wasn't sure if it was a catch, which indeed it was. There's no question in our minds. But because he threw the flag, it was technically an illegal challenge, so he got penalized 15 yards for it. Because now every scoring play is automatically challenged. So rather than pick up the flag and be like, "Coach, we got this," they threw 15 yards. Look, maybe this is the Niner fan of me. Maybe that's enough crap anyway. But in reaction to that, Jim Schwartz had no problem talking garbage, going, "No, the rules, Harbaugh." Now, I don't think that's really a factor, because if you're shouting from one sideline to another across a football field in an empty space, you're not really going to hear anything, let alone an NFL game, let alone Ford Field in its current state of hype. Yeah. So,
yet alone after the home team scored the touchdown.
Yeah, good call. Good call, Chris. So there have been writings hinting that Schwartz really threw the first proverbial blow by talking smack there. No, Harbaugh didn't hear that. And of course, all that aside, I would have to warn Jim Schwartz in terms of survival instinct alone. You think Jim Schwartz would even have a chance against Jim Harbaugh in any sort of a real altercation?
Nope.
I do not.
Schwartz was a linebacker.
That would be funny to
and
see.
And Harbaugh was a quarterback.
That would be funny to see a quarterback beat up a linebacker. Yeah,
that's where it all goes back to.
That's good.
That's an interesting point to the dynamic. He couldn't stand a beating shown up by some pretty boy quarterback. Maybe that's it. So, I guess it's that time. How'd we do last week, Chris?
Me and you were 4-2 going into tonight's game. Weasel was 3-3. So
we all picked against the Dolphins?
Yes, we all picked the Jets.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think we'll be fine there. But Weasel drops back a game. He couldn't stand being this close to the pack, like we talked about last
time. I'm four up on Weasel. You're two up on Weasel. So
I'm still four down because that stupid Panthers Bears game.
Enjoy it while I can.
Proper trash talk from the bottom of the pile. I like it, Weasel. Okay, so what we got this week, Chris?
All right. London game. Bears-Bucks.
Crikey, chaps. Well, Chris, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm going with the Bears this week. They're going to stop, even if it's LeGarrette Blount's back. I don't think he is, but Ernest Graham. They're going to have a lot of pressure on Josh Freeman. And what the Bears did to the Vikings, I think it's going to carry over into this game.
Interesting. Weasel.
Bears.
This is hard for me. I don't know if you guys came to it very easily, but this is tough for me. I feel like Josh Freeman is a lot more formidable opponent than Donovan McNabb or Christian Ponder.
Yeah.
By far. Aurelius Ben, Mike Williams, very interesting concepts. Kellen Winslow, capable to do good things as a tight end.
I was just pointing out that Donovan McNabb's 79% completion.
Yeah, 79%. It's like,
it's his first game over 60%, I might add.
Right, I know, but I mean, still, I mean,
simple passes like a 5-yard turnaround and straight, like down the field passes.
I know it's 8 yards.
But let me wrap up my point here. The Bucks on the whole are still a young team, and they're getting off a very emotional win over the Saints. This game will be close. I see the Bears taking it on the strength of Matt Forte. What we got next?
Broncos at Fins.
Well, this is an absolute garbage bowl. Chris.
All right. Broncos just traded away Brandon Lloyd today.
To the Rams.
And they also are going to have clipboard start next week.
That would be Tim Tebow, for those who don't know better.
So, that team with those two right there, I'm going to pick the Finns. I mean, with the upset. Well, if it is an upset or whatever.
Depends on who you ask. Weasel. Yeah.
The Finns are at home, so it's an upset.
Right. Weasel.
Broncos.
Tebow hit the field last week, and the only reason, or not last week, I'm sorry, 2 weeks ago, and the only reason why he didn't win was because of pass interference by the Chargers that was let go on the last play of the game, where it would have been very interesting to see Tim Tebow on the one versus the Chargers with the chance to win the game.
Jump pass.
Yeah, right? No kidding. So he's coming to Miami, to his college state, if I may.
They are having a...
That's where I'm going, exactly. And they're having a day, although, albeit on the Hurricanes field for the University of Miami, they're having a day honoring the national championship team of the U of F, Florida, where Team
2008.
For 2008, where Team Tebow, I don't know if he won the Heisman that year or not.
No, he did not.
But he was the quarterback who led them to the championship. So they're there in praise of him in his home state against the team. They did win back-to-back, that's right.
Yeah.
But
it was the second one.
They're there to praise him anyway against a team who they're not happy with because they're losing so much. The Chad Henne trade talk or get rid of Chad Henne talk is more superior than it ever was before. I got the Broncos on this one. I think Tebow's going to light a fire under their butt and they're going to topple the Dolphins because what the heck did they have to play for?
Yeah, I had a game to give up. I was going to pick the Broncos, but I needed to go for it, so I'll go with the Finns for the upset.
Which you said you should have done for the Bills last week, but I digress. What's next?
It's a gimme game. Steelers and Cardinals.
Anybody?
Yeah.
Hearing none, Steelers across the board. Next.
Another gimme game. Pack of Vikings.
I think what would be interesting about this game is that Ponder, he should get the start. I mean, the Vikings season is pretty much over. And Ponder, if he starts, you play a good defense. I hope they actually protect him a little bit. But you get a full game's worth of game film for a rookie quarterback going into a bye week.
Are you picking the Vikings or not?
Hell no.
Next.
Packers.
I'll say, what if the offensive line conspire? Let's see if McNally gets sacked 5 times in a row this week. Well, let's just let him go by.
He got sacked 2 times in a row. Maybe it was that safety where he kind of just like instead of like pushing forward, he kind of like laid down.
I didn't see that. But
clap!
Anyways.
Another game. Colts at Saints. It's the Sunday night game.
I will be in New Orleans watching this game as the Saints dominate and the party ensues in New Orleans. Weasel.
I like how it's going to be on ESPN, right?
NBC. Yeah, it's
NBC.
A Sunday night
NBC.
Game.
NBC.
Yeah. NBC.
And
they're hyping it up as a Super Bowl rematch of a couple years ago.
What the hell else do they have, Weasel? That's not fair. Be nice.
They don't have anything else. But
it's a Super Bowl -3. Minus Peyton Manning, minus Cliff Sessions, minus...
Bob
Sanders.
Yeah.
We got your favorite one. There you go.
So, yeah, but... Yeah. Saints.
Across the board.
Yep. And Ravens at Jags for Monday night.
Anyone even thinking Jags on this?
No.
Okay.
Fairly easy. We've got one game different, which is the Broncos-Fins, which I kind of figured that's my one with the Fins.
A little bit of drama for the week.
Yeah.
How are we looking percentage-wise? Did you do that math?
No, I didn't do the percentage-wise.
Well, I'll have you do that while we put together the usual goodbye speech here. If you have anything to add to the contribution, we're more than happy to take it. Go ahead and email us at thesotg@thestudentofthegame.com. The website, of course, is www.thestudentofthegame. You can follow us on iTunes where you can subscribe to our podcast or make a comment on the page or follow us on Twitter at thesotg. I think we're going to have a little something here in a minute.
You are at 69%.
All right. I may not be winning, but I'm still the best. Weasel's like, I got nothing.
Weasel's at 65. And I am at... Sorry, laptop calculator. I am at 73.
Which means you were the only one who had a better percentage than Donovan McNabb.
Yeah.
No, he had 79.2.
Yeah,
oh, snap.
Yeah.
Chris up two games on me, hopefully. Or no, you're up four games on...
I'm up two on you, four on Weasel.
Yeah.
I had a better completion percentage than Tony Romo and...
Tom Brady
combined.
That's right. There you go. I like that combined. That was cute. Anyways, we'll see everybody for week 7. Class dismissed.